Speaking of anthropology, my name is Dylan.
And my name is Kevin.
And we are back on another wonderful Saturday afternoon, dear listeners. It is just Kevin and I today, you know, chilling, hanging out here in the beginning of our weekend to just, you know, enjoy ourselves, just talk a little bit, check in. It's been a bit, you know, it's been a hot minute since we did, you know, just the two of us. So, Kevin, how are you doing today? How are things going for you?
Yeah, no, thanks, Dylan. I'm doing quite well. Yeah, it's, if you think a little bit about it, the last time that we did a, like, just two of us discussing about what anthropology is and what life is it's been a while. We've had several really fantastic guests and had really interesting conversations. And so it's kind of like a breath of fresh air. I won't lie to you. I was about to say a breath of fresh air. I've been saying that recently as well.
Recently? You've mixed those. I'll put you on blast right now. You've mixed those two up for as long as I can remember, actually. Sorry to do you like that live on air, Kevin. But
No. I mean, hey, it is breath of fresh air. You know, that's on live air. But no, things are definitely going well. As we approach April and where we are in April, happy April, everyone. And hopefully this isn't a prank for you because this is live on air right now on KSUA, but,
how could it be a prank? It's the 3rd of April, Kevin. It's not a 3rd of April fools. That's the 1st.
April 1st, the whole month of April is just one blur of a spring, winter to spring season for me. But no, things are great. So the semester is starting to wind down. At the same time, things are starting to pick up, meaning classes and courses for everyone. It's probably hitting a high mark now. And so, hey, lock in, get it done. At the same time, enjoy the fact that there will be more sun, there will be more light. Unfortunately, here in Fairbanks, it seems like there's still a bit of snow. So bundle up, go out, go skiing last few times. But no, things are going great, Dylan. How are things down in the PNW?
In the goal PNW in the PDX, endless acronyms. No, it's gone pretty well though. You know, it's definitely feels like summer essentially. I would imagine for folks who are from here, they'd still probably say, well, it's not quite summer yet. You know, it's only like a couple days ago, you know, it was like 72 or something in the sunlight. And so they'd probably say, ah, well, it's only mostly in the 50s or 60s. That's not summer. But, you know, growing up in Fairbanks, when it would hit that in May and there was the snow was melting, that would, you know, or, you know, gone depending on the May. Obviously, breakup is always a little different every year. You know, that was summer, right? Because, you know, and then you get into like end of June, early July, and then, you know, maybe it's in the 80s. But yeah, it already feels like summer down here, which, you know, sorry, dear listeners and Kevin to rub it in a little bit, but you know, I spent 20 years in Alaska, near enough, and of that 15 years in Fairbanks. So, you know, I did the whole thing. I know what it's like, and now I'm learning the joys of a PNW calendar in the spring, what spring is like, which is essentially just summer, early summer.
But spring comes. that's not in Fairbanks, but
no, yeah. you break up is what's coming. It's less dramatic than winter is coming, but it'll ruin your day just as easily. You know, if folks in Fairbanks, you know, they don't need to be told if you've lived there long enough about the, you know, what happens in breakup and stuff, right? You know, flooded basements, garages. You know, we used to have a ditch that separated our house from the house next door to us, right? And it was 3-4 feet, like a slope. It was like a very small valley, essentially. And it would always fill with water every year and sometimes spill out into the driveway and onto the front yard. And you'd always have to pump it, you know. So that's what's in store for y'all. But more specifically for you, Kevin, I'm curious how your classes are going. Besides the fact that, as you've said, they are getting more intense, you know. How are your anthro courses going? I guess maybe start with the senior seminar, the crown jewel and every undergrad anthropologist's, you know, course listing at UAF. So how's senior seminar going for you?
It's that one course that you enter and you know, senior. Oh, you've made it to senior year. You've made it this far. It's going great. I really enjoy the class. Dr. Brian Hempel is a fantastic professor, and the coursework is not easy because there's a lot of content. But at the same time, think about it. You're a graduating senior. You need to essentially be ready to go into your higher education or further career. And what better way than to take one course, one semester, and summarize 4 years essentially worth of anthropology knowledge, all the four fields, all the different resources, the literature reviews, writing papers, doing a presentation, all the whole thing. And it's going quite well. I think courses are interesting, I think, this second semester, at least for me. And I kind of say this second semester is mainly because of this year. It seems like we've hit, I don't know, I've at least felt like I've hit a groove with the courses online. Sometimes I hit a groove where you realize the coursework is going to be assigned on this date and you have to prep this much. And then when you're actually in the class, then how much more can you be ready for? And then what questions do you need to prepare? What sort of discussions maybe you can try to instigate? And then sometimes it doesn't work out, which happens a lot because, you know, the conversations change, and then, you know, you're not in the in-person setting, so you can't necessarily just raise your hand and make eye contact. Now you have to do a virtual hand raise or a comment, and then that, I think, changes. But at least in terms of that, it's just the coursework, you know, it gets itself done. My other course, Anthropology of Art, with Sveta Yelman-Pasternak and Igor Yelman-Pasternak, wonderful course as well. Every week we have a new conversation with a new classmate about their interest in art, their perceptions of art, and we're in the presentation stages of that course right now. And, you know, it's so cool because I think, at least for me, it seems like I have a spectrum. You know, senior seminar is definitely one of those courses where you focus in and keen in on different topics and, you know, kind of anthropologically speaking, very, you know, systematic learning. And I think it's really important. And then I have, you know, the Anthropology of Art course where we're kind of studying art in an anthropological setting with our classmates. And it's a little different. I think 3 hours of conversation rather than lecture, but it is a lecture because it is somebody else lecturing to you about their interest in art. And so we've had classmates talk about ceramics. Last week we had somebody, this week we had somebody talk about minimalism in art. Very unique topic, I think. We, you know, talked about all sorts of concepts in that end. Bauhaus, you know, I will say, and this is, if Sveta and Igor, if you're listening to the show today, Pete Mondrian is the name that's just always in my mind now. And I see the shapes, you know, if anyone doesn't know who Pete Mondrian is, an artist who creates these pieces or created these artworks where it's just lines and colors, essentially. I think, I don't know if there's a better way to explain it, but.
So the one that everybody has seen is the Mondrian piece. That's the, it's essentially like a bunch of panels of different sizes. And it's like, it's a couple are white, a couple are blue, a couple are red, a couple are yellow. And they're just kind of all arranged into that one piece. And if you Google Mondrian, you will see it and you'll know what I'm talking about, what Kevin is talking about, because it is very well known. It is a fairly iconic piece. And I also do agree that, yeah, Mondrian is one of the things that, that kind of stuck with me as a name to that course. And yeah, that piece. And, you know, you once you sort of have noted it, you start to appreciate just how often it is used and stuff, right? And because it does crop up in quite a few places and artistic pieces that are inspired by Mondrian and his pieces are not uncommon. But that's maybe the little explanation as to what you were saying.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thanks, Dylan. Yeah, and I think maybe the point that I'll just briefly summarize with courses is to any of you listeners who are finishing your courses, it's kind of interesting. The motivation these days has changed for us. Yes, it is very task driven. I think, you know, getting assignments done and turned in on time. But now that we're on, in a class and have accessibility so quickly to resources, I feel like I'm learning a lot and learning from my classmates in a different manner. I think the time we spend preparing for class is now different, and I see it to be more eloquent, compared to when we had to rush to class and bring a USB and plug it into the computer and then present. It's very, very different. Now we can sit in the comfort of our home and reflect and be retrospective on our lives. But anyways, this is something that I thought of, Dylan, briefly, and I'm sure I want to ask you. It's been a year essentially since the COVID pandemic has kind of started, like plus minus. I know it's definitely started a little further back, but if we think about it, we've come all the way around to the other side. We're of course, you know, to everyone out there, stay safe and stay healthy. But I don't know. I just started reflecting on the fact that a year ago we were having conversations remotely. Dylan, you were still completing your degree at that time. What else? I'm missing something, Dylan. We were both in the radio station live, you know.
This time last year, you were in.
Actually, I was
you were in Germany. But you were in Heidelberg.
But the last time together, we were in the studio together, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, well, and so to that note, like talking, obviously, the beginning of the pandemic is maybe not so clear cut because it began at different times, obviously in different places, and to an extent for different people. So, you know, like everybody who was, around at UAF last year, right, remembers how spring break was extended by a week. And so you could consider that. And then we had the week of online classes and trying to figure things out. And then the week after that was when Alaska started its sort of tentative pandemic measures. And that was sort of when things really started kicking off. And especially for me personally, because the 29th of March was when I left Fairbanks, right? And so we actually recently just passed the 1 year anniversary of that. And so I personally kind of consider, like, obviously a couple weeks before then the pandemic had become something that was affecting my life, but I kind of considered that once things started to really shut down and it seemed like it wouldn't really be possible for me to continue living in Fairbanks in the dry cabin. And so when I left Fairbanks, I consider that personally as the beginning of the pandemic really for me, and how it went from like a thing that has changed what I'm doing in my life to a thing that has radically restructured actually my life, because I ended up, you know, moving because of it. Right. So, it's been a year in many ways. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think back on, just looking back on the old shows, the shows that we've had recently, maybe Dylan is something we can just reflect on. And I don't want to go all the way back, but actually to any of the listeners, this is we had some statistics that we're looking at, or Dylan has collected, that maybe if you don't mind sharing.
I love sharing listeners. Statistics.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's about our show. So to our listeners, this is Speaking of Anthropology. here on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. For those of you who are stumbling on our show right now, here on this beautiful Saturday that we hope you're having, or if you're listening at a different time, recorded, this is a show about anthropology where we discuss riveting topics in about anthropology. We have conversations with students, faculty, and of course, Dylan. Drum roll, please. We are a Goldies award-winning show, so yeah, that's true. That's something. So, but anyways, Dylan, let's get to the stats. I'm kind of curious because we started chatting a little bit about it yesterday, but take it away, man. Let's get analytical. You know,
yeah,
big data. Yeah, and the big data in terms of like the show and the recording. A little background for the listeners, actually, briefly. The show is hosted at KSUA 91.5 in Fairbanks. In Fairbanks, Alaska, at the UAF Wood Center. We have been doing the show for essentially, more than a year now. Year and a half-ish, I would say. We started around 2019. And we've come this far. It's a show that's ongoing. We've talked about it on previous shows, just where we were at with this idea of creating something that can connect students, connect faculty, connect staff all together. And I will say, if we've come a long way, right? So I don't know, Dylan, there's some stats that I think now you have pulled up. It's okay. Whenever you're ready.
Big data time.
I'm excited.
Big data time. That sounds different. That's like what Google does to us.
I know.
Or with us. No, so we have been running since fall of 2019. And in that time, we have recorded. Well, when I made the stats was before we had, before this episode, obviously. In that time, we have done 43 shows, 42 of which are on the site, one of which is Lost to Time. I believe that was episode 26. So rip episode 26. You're not featured in these statistics. But in that time, we recorded 20 shows from fall of 2019 to fall of 2020. But then from fall of 2020 till present, we have recorded 22, now 23 shows. So, we have apparently, thanks to the pandemic, been picking up our pace. Thanks to the pandemic, and also because Kevin now works at the radio station because he's very fancy and is apparently now a radio professional. So this is not just a hobby for him. It's a job, which is borne out in how well we've been doing. In that time, this is based on the shows that are on our site, speakingofanthro.wixsite.com/speakingofanthro. So this is without the music breaks that we normally do. But the average length of the show on our site is 51 minutes and 35 seconds, with the shortest being episode 3 at 28 minutes, 26 seconds, and the longest being a very recent episode, episode 41, which came out to 1 hour, 13 minutes, and 7 seconds. So we have a pretty good range, but actually our average is about where we'd want it to be without music. Because, of course, for folks who only tune in live, who are able to tune in live regularly, obviously the music that is played on the radio version does not make it into the podcast version because we do not own the rights to that music and do not want to get sued. So... So for folks who might not be familiar with it, it's essentially like how on on streaming services you watch a show and it's shorter because the average length is like 22 minutes because it's a half hour with 8 minutes of adverts. Similar concept, where obviously without the music we want it to be generally shorter than an hour, so that with music we reach an hour. And so I would say, based on what I have found, 51 minutes maybe is slightly longer than if we were consistently hitting only an hour as an ideal. But also, obviously, we run our show in such a way that if we are having engaging conversations, if we things are going well, you know, and of course we will not interfere with the other shows on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks, then we are not going to necessarily just cut it off. Like, no, we can't talk for another minute. That's it. It's done. Go away. Like, we don't do that, right? And so, you know, those are just some of the statistics that I was able to come to through an Excel sheet, because spreadsheets are magical things if the content is right and not terribly boring. So that is my stats corner for the show. I don't know that that will ever come back. And also, I would just like to take a moment and get on a little soapbox and say, I love statistics. I could not make it into statistics at UAF because my math scores were too low. I'm not ashamed to admit that. But I am somewhat disappointed because I do genuinely enjoy the field, and yet they would not let me take stats 200. And I think I would have done fine, honestly. I do it in my free time, as I have just demonstrated. But yeah, so there you go, Kevin. Make of those what you will.
You are a statistician. Sorry, statistician. I don't know the correct pronunciation. Regardless, Dylan, I think, yeah, I mean, just taking a look at these numbers too, I think it's really interesting. 43 shows. Whew, that's a lot. That's if you think about a weekly basis, you know, the preparation time and the streamlining of the process and scheduling a guest and then having the guest on the show and then having a discussion that is worthy of your grateful ears, you know, all of that adds together. It's really cool. I think a little bit back on Dylan, and this is just, we might as well get reflective today on how the show has been. But you know, think about back all the way to the first or episode zero, and then moving all the way now to the 43rd episode. I think definitely we've had improvements in our radio capacity and our you know, ability to host and meaningful and engaging conversation. I sure hope so too, right? I think a lot about you know, people who ask us or talk to us about our show, and they wonder, you know, I see different levels of preparation with our guests as well, which is interesting. I think some folks come on ready to go. No need to have notes, no need, just naturally go for it. Some people have some notes pre-prepped. We of course allow our guests on both ends to be prepared, but that's what's interesting. I think the confidence and you know, you could see at the start, maybe the first half of the show, generally people are a little anxious or wondering what they should say or shouldn't say, and you could see it, you know, you could tell, you could feel it. And then as we move into the second half of the show, it's just a fluid conversation, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, this would be something that someone who is not me could run like a little statistics thing on as well. But I feel like, you know, the initial answers that we receive, especially prior to the first music break, because I think after that, you know, you generally, as most listeners probably have picked up on by now, we here on Speaking Anthropology try to have the music break about 20-25 minutes in, somewhere in there, I say, you know, as we are nearing that marker currently, but foreshadowing, but you know. And so after that first music break, though, when we come back from that, I feel like the answers to our questions are generally longer, you know, prior to that. And again, this depends very much on the guest. Some folks are already comfortable, especially, you know, the couple people that we've had on several times, like Sherry, who, you know, both knows us and knows the show and is used to being on the show a little bit more by now. But, you know, for sure, especially in those first 20 minutes, the answers tend to be, you know, a little shorter, maybe a little more, one or two sentences sometimes, or, you know, in such a way that we oftentimes run through more of our pre-planned questions in those first 20 minutes, whereas in the next 40, you know, when folks are feeling more comfortable, they can give longer answers, and then we are able to you know, move the conversations away from stuff that we had maybe kind of discussed prior to the show with guests. So yeah, no, I completely agree. It definitely, folks get a little more comfortable as they get into it, which is how it went for us, right? When, as you were saying, right, when we started, you know, hosting and all that was not, it wasn't something I'd done before. You had some radio experience, but, you know, I definitely feel like we have both gotten, you know, more comfortable with it through time, you know, and I hope that that has borne out for the listeners for sure. But as I mentioned before, we do like to have our music breaks about 20 to 25 minutes in the show. And so I think now would be a good time for a music break. Don't you agree, Kevin?
I agree. Here on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks, Speaking of Anthropology brings you music.
This is Speaking of Anthropology here on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. My name is Dylan, and that was a couple of songs selected from the Speaking of Anthropology playlist that we have been assembling from music from past guests. And I will say, Kevin, you know, that is, speaking of, you know, a little bit of a retrospective behind the scenes, that is a slightly newer addition to the show, obviously, now that we have, you know, 4 episodes under our belt, right? The music list is obviously something that we have now been able to produce that we weren't obviously able to at the beginning of the show, right? With the continuous adding of music from guests. And that's something that I have I've been rather enjoying, really. It's I think it's a fun thing to do, don't you?
Yeah, the variety of music, I think, it's truly, truly unique. Maybe actually we might as well take a look at some of this music that we have, at least. And it is a Spotify playlist for any of those who are listening and are interested in kind of checking it out. It's titled the SOA.show.ksua. It's a playlist. You can check it out online. Maybe it's just me, but I think the variety of music that we get comes from the faculty's personal, it seems like, at least maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, Dylan, here, but it seems almost like faculty always play music of their regional research, of the areas where they did regional research, plus minus, I guess. The students oftentimes play music that they do when they're at field school, when they're having a good time, when they're doing homework on a roll. So then now my question, I guess, I know I wonder is, what about graduate students? Like, they got to have what music is right for them? And we've had graduate students on the show. They oftentimes also play probably music from their personal culture. That's a big collection of the music as well. So I don't know, maybe that's some statistic that we can kind of run by and maybe analyze kind of the show in itself. But what sort of music thematically has been played on the show, right? And I don't know. I think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it interesting that that's kind of the breakdown that you see is between like faculty and stuff versus students. And I do think that there's a breakdown there for sure. The one that for me comes initially to mind, though, is a slightly different one, which is... you know, and I mean this with all kindness in the world, but there does seem to be a bit of a difference between archaeologists and non-archaeologists, other assorted anthropologists that we have on the show. For whatever reason, because archaeologists, it seems like they, for the most part, the music that they bring to the table is either stuff that they, mostly stuff that they enjoy, but oftentimes also stuff that they both enjoy and listen to a lot during their field work, right? Which is similar to what you know, other folks bring, except for the difference being that we've had guests on before, for example, Dr. Shopes or Dr. Hempel, the music that they offer is stuff that they encountered in their field work, but that was music that other folks were playing as they were doing, you know, work in in Dr. Shrope's case, Guatemala, or in Hempel's case, you know, Pakistan in northern India and stuff. And so, whereas for archaeologists, the music that they listen to in the field is generally music that they are bringing to the field, you know, so that is, it's what they enjoy listening to that they have then brought to the dig site to listen to while they are working. So a little bit of a difference there. Although I will say, as maybe a counterpoint to that, is just that I remember when we had Dr. Clark or Dr. Jamie Clark, some of the songs that she was playing, all of them obviously she enjoyed, but I remember one of them in particular was a song that she was exposed to because of work she was doing in South Africa, right? And that is one that is on the playlist, that is Leia by Die Heuvels Fantasties, and that was a Afrikaans pop song that was popular during a point in time where she was doing field or where she was doing work in South Africa. I believe she was working in a museum then, and so it was always on the radio that they had in the lab there. So that's how she's exposed to that. But yeah, sort of where people pick up the music, whether it was something that they encountered in the field or whether it was something they themselves had brought to the field, come, you know, and then it became either way somewhat intertwined with those memories they then bring to us on the show. And then of course sometimes there's no necessarily like deep anthropological connection to their work or whatever, it's just something that they enjoyed and felt like playing that day, and you know, maybe they've listened to it sometimes in the field, maybe not, that doesn't necessarily factor into it. But yeah, you know, it's there's definitely a couple different reasons people bring the music that they do, and it's always interesting you know, to hear folks talk about it, and it is always interesting to see. And that is another reason why I enjoy having the playlist for sure, is kind of to see. I feel like now this is we don't have all the music on the playlist, so this is currently just speculation, it's not based in statistics, but I feel like folk music and like that sort of stuff very popular amongst anthropologists, folk and like you know, maybe sort of lighter rock. So of course rock is such a broad genre and is always popular with nearly everybody, but you know, I've couple different folk songs from a couple different folks makes me think that maybe a broader segment of anthropologists enjoy that than maybe one would initially suppose. But again, that is not, I've not crunched the numbers on that, that was just some random conjecture that has just occurred to me as I've been speaking live on air. So
I couldn't agree with you more. I think if you look at it, this makes me wonder too, Dylan, with music flavors, music genres, as anthropologists, maybe the work that you do requires you to not be, you know, I don't know, maybe R&B or like hip hop is kind of like when you go work out. So maybe when anthropologists go work out, that's what they go listen to. I actually remember one of our colleagues and guests that's been on the show, Kendrick. Kendrick used to listen to our show when he worked out. So that's something I also think about. Or maybe at a field site, it just feels better to have folk music. You know, that feeling of working at a site, and it's a, not a super slow tempo, but it's still fast enough. It reminds me also of the conversation I think that we've had with Sherry, another colleague of ours. And I still remember this. I think it was like if I look back on it, Dylan, I think it was like one of our earlier shows. Yeah, it was actually the fifth show that we ever had. We had Sherry live in the studio, and we talked about music and how her relationship with music is, and it's in terms of music with, you know, our connection to music through time and space. An example, we talk about how, you know, as you age, certain musics bring back certain types of memories and certain types of experiences, right? The connotation of music to certain thing. Smells, likewise, or touch, or sight. These are all important. And I don't know, at least this recently has been also of thought to me through my anthropological livelihood, I guess, of some sort. And I'm sure, Dylan, you've probably had some of these moments too, hopefully. I don't know. But I consider, like, you know, recently, at least for me, it's always been, you know, yeah, I am, you know, I'm in that graduation state where everything's winding down. And so everything slows down in life, right? And, you know, you, what do they call it? Graduation goggles or something. You're blinded by everything else and everything just looks beautiful. And of course, you know, it is stressful. I won't lie, because there's things to get done. But, you know, everything seems to slow down just a tad bit. And you kind of, the music starts playing in the background everywhere you go. The snowfall seems so much nicer. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it's that experience momentarily that I will remember this moment. Be it the music that I'm listening to, the smells, the people that you're around. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being with my graduation goggles on, saying a very finale sort of statement. But I'm sure you've had that experiences too, Dylan, similarly with music, with life, with experiences.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's definitely those moments, right, that stick with you. And then definitely had them at UAF. Although for me, obviously, the graduation goggles thing is a little different, right? Because, you know, a little, just a smidge past that midway through the semester point, like if I had any graduation goggles, which I may very well might have had, they're kind of shorn away by a pandemic and the complete, you know, upsetting of, you know, the entire rest of the semester and how everything was changing. And there was, yeah, you know, there's a lot going on. So it was a little harder, you know, whereas even now, obviously the pandemic still going on, unfortunately, but you have a little more of a rhythm, right? You are able to, you know, as you've been talking about, you're in a comfortable groove with how classes are going and stuff. And it's a little more, you know, it's a little more of a known quantity for you, whereas for us right at the beginning, and for you, of course, but it was in Germany, so it was a little different. But for how that was going, it was, you know, kind of the cutting edge of what in, you know, what is going to go on, what's going to happen, what is this going to be, right? So yeah, unfortunately, I don't know that I can really attest to graduation goggles. Although I will say, obviously, I was very happy, you know, once I had graduated. But I do remember, you know, even in the lead up before then, and, you know, at the beginning of my final year and stuff, you know, definitely, you know, maybe a little rosier glasses, because it's like, you know, this is it, right? This is the last year. And then, you know, that's it. I'm done, moving on with my life. And by that point, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be, you know, around in Fairbanks after that and stuff. So there was a lot of finality to it in a couple ways, obviously, because it was both leaving UAF, which I'd been at for 4 years, and also, of course, leaving my home and the place where I grew up. And so there was a lot going on there. So yeah, a lot of those moments, a lot of music moments for sure. Maybe, I guess, if you want to think of it that way, to put it in
Kevin moment. Yeah, I don't know. It's you know, when you meet a fellow anthropologist, right, Dylan, and you'll have a moment where you're speaking to them, and I always wonder, what is the direct connection that anthropologists have? How can you tell who else is an anthropologist in the crowd? Is it the way they're talking to you? Is it the way they're, you know, expressing themselves? I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I think I've been to events with anthropologists, but it's almost as if I know all of them already. So I'm always curious, and I don't know, you've been to like a little AAA here in Alaska. I don't know if you wouldn't mind speaking on that, but like, what is it like socializing, mingling? And I guess I never got a chance to do that with strangers, I think Levi Strauss would say, the strange, familiar, strange sort of note. What is it like, you know?
What is it like?
Connecting with other anthropologists.
You know what it's like, Kevin. No, I mean, it's always fun, especially, you know, like do stuff like the little triple A's, right? For where I was at in my career, where I am at in my career, really. It was nice because, you know, there are folks who I might not necessarily know, especially, you know, getting to encounter other student anthropologists and stuff, but of course other anthropologists in general, you know. And that was that's also one of the things that I enjoyed in my first semester right at Columbia, obviously, is getting to, you know, meet new folks and see both, you know, getting to talk to other anthropologists and meet new anthropologists is always nice. But what I really enjoy is getting to hear what folks are researching and what they're interested in and what work they're doing. That is always fascinating. And I think to listeners of the show, that is probably very obvious because that is a big part of what we do here on the show, is ask people about that kind of stuff. And it's not just because Kevin and I think it makes for good radio content, but it's also because we find it very interesting to talk to people about that kind of stuff. And it's definitely something I really enjoy in getting the opportunity. And I have also gotten the opportunity through this show. There are a couple folks, odds are I wouldn't have met, or at least I wouldn't have gotten to sit down and talk to him in the way that I did, you know, without doing the show, and conversations, you know, that were both had on the show as well as off air that I have really enjoyed, that I found really informative, you know, experiences that were just really interesting and enjoyable, and you know, the opportunity to meet, you know, other anthropologists and folks in the social sciences and in the sciences who just have, you know, good many interesting things to say. So yeah, you know, it's always enjoyable, but you know that, you know, and you have even gotten to do it in different ways, because while I have also studied in Germany, though for a shorter time than you, you know, it was a more of a general program, you know, whereas you were both in the general student exchange program, but you were also taking these classes, like sociological classes at the Max Weber Institute and stuff. And so you also got a chance to mingle with folks both close to and a little bit removed from the field as well. So, you know, I'm curious how that was, especially specifically in that German context for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think this is a word of an encouragement to any of your listeners who are students. Get a chance. Right now, COVID restrictions are in place, but prepare yourself to go study abroad. I think fantastic experience. I unfortunately did not get to meet many of my classmates until later on in the year, later on in that semester. But yeah, no, the conversations that you have, especially I think with being in Heidelberg. So I studied at the University of Heidelberg in Southwest Germany. And the courses there that are taught, of course, I had to take the ones that are in English because my German at that time is not very good, or it's good enough, but not good for, you know, full on course like Dylan's. But the courses that you take there, the students that you meet are very international, and it's because everyone's interested in the topic. And then you have varying degree levels. You have master's students, PhD students, bachelor's students, you know, TAs, and then the professor themselves. I actually remember, this is kind of interesting, and I want to give a shout out, since this is an anthropology show, one of the faculty there at the University of Heidelberg, Lucas Lay, a wonderful professor, teaches courses on like anthropology of water, anthropology of sand, I think anthropology of dirt. And I remember at the end of the semester, this is anthropology of water, and Heidelberg, for those who've been there, there is a Neckar that cuts through the city, and or I would say the city cuts through the Neckar, maybe the other way around. But, you know, we, at the end of the course, we all met and had a conversation. Of course, this is amid, you know, COVID, so we were safe. But then we all actually, our professor paddle boards. So he literally paddleboard. We were sitting there all together having a nice afternoon near the neck of Isa, which is the along the river. There's a lot of grassy areas to sit and enjoy the summer. And we're sitting there, you know, having our snacks and, you know, enjoying ourselves, drinking, all sorts of beer and wine and water and seltzer water that they all do in Germany. And then our professor just paddles out of nowhere along the neck car and is just like, hello, guten Tag. Hi, everyone. And in English, because he was formerly trained in I think, in Canada. For his higher education, just stepped off of his paddleboard and just sat down with us and started chatting. He even like, got us to get on it and get on the paddleboard and go out onto the neck car, which bear in mind is a big, there's a lot of people on it because there's tourists who are on little paddle boats. There's big shipping containers, or not big shipping containers, but like shipping cargo coming back and forth. So I don't know, that was a pretty cool experience, I think. And getting a chance to meet these people who, I don't know, on an online platform, they don't seem very real. That's the truth. But then you meet them in person and you see their face, their smile, and their genuine side of things. Because I feel like online, yeah, we turn our cameras off. We keep ourselves muted when we're not speaking to be respectful. And yet there's no quality to that, right? Except for a name, so. That's what I thought, at least.
Yeah, for sure. I do find it funny, a small note, the verbiage decisions, right? The Neckar, the river, all right, cutting through Heidelberg, or Heidelberg cutting through the Neckar. Two different ways of framing it, for sure. Neither that I would agree with. And the one, how I always conceptualize it is that the cities are kind of growing up around those sorts of rivers, you know, so it it's maybe a little different than cutting or you know, a destructive process like that, but maybe that's just me romanticizing the whole thing, that's as it goes. But we do have one final music break for our listeners here today on Speaking Anthropology, KCUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. And again, we will be drawing from the wonderful Spotify playlist of music provided by past guests to the show. So here you go.
This is Speaking of Anthropology on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. My name is Kevin.
And my name is Dylan.
And I want to welcome you back. Yeah, welcome. We should say it together. How about this? Welcome back. we've had a really fun show today, I think. It may not seem fun to you guys, but it's definitely, I think, fun for Dylan and I to just...
I hope it's fun for the listeners. That's why you're tuning in, right?
Reflecting kind of on the show, the process, where we're at, where we've been, where we're headed, and everything in between. And considering that, we want to thank you, the listeners, so much for tuning in, and thank you for if you're stumbling on it, thank you. No matter what, you're doing an amazing job. You're an amazing person out there. Keep going. The snow may be falling in Fairbanks, but you're going to be all right. You're going to be all just fine. But with that being said, I thought we'd bring back a new segment or old segment or some sort is a poem time. I feel like it's refreshing, Dylan. So Dylan, if you're okay with it, maybe we can like take turns or something. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You want to? Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we can go every other line. I mean, unless you have a different poem you want to read.
No, I okay. Trust your poem selection largely because I'm not a poetry person. So.
Recently, because of the graduation tone and the mood, I kind of started getting into celebratory poetry. So it's just a weird Kevin thing. I'll sometimes sit down and I'm listening to some music and I'm like, I want to read some poetry. and I don't know what I want to read, not no thematic, but I'm just going to pull it up. Okay, poetry.org, you know, poetryfoundation.com. Great, there's a poem about graduations, click, and here we are. This is Walt Whitman's piece to you. So I'll get started. Dylan, we'll do maybe every paragraph, if that's okay, Dylan, or yeah, until there's a break. Here we go. This is To You, literally titled To You for You by Walt Whitman. Whoever you are, I fear you are walking the walks of dreams. I fear these supposed realities are to melt from under your feet and hands.
Even now, your features, joys, speech, house, trade, manners, troubles, follies, costume, crimes dissipate away from you.
Your true soul and body appear before me.
They stand forth out of affairs, out of commerce, shops, work, farms, clothes, the house, buying, selling, eating, drinking, suffering, dying.
Whoever you are, now I place my hand upon you, that you may be my poem.
I whisper with my lips close to your ear, I have loved many women and men, but I love none better than you.
Oh, I have been dilatory and dumb. I should have made my way straight to you long ago. I should have blabbed nothing but you. I should have chanted nothing but you.
I will leave all and come and make the hymns of you. None has understood you, but I understand you. None has done justice to you. You have not done justice to yourself. None but has found you imperfect. I only find no imperfection in you.
None but would subordinate you. I only he who will never consent to subordinate you. I only am he who places over you no master, owner, better, God, beyond what waits intrinsically in yourself.
Painters have painted their swarming groups and the center figure of all. From the head of the center figure, spreading a nimbus of gold-colored light.
But I paint myriads of heads, but paint no head without its nimbus of gold-colored light. From my hand, from the brain of every man and woman, it streams effulgently flowing forever.
Oh, I could sing such grandeurs and glories about you. You have not known what you are. You have slumbered upon yourself all your life. Your eyelids have been the same as closed most of the time.
What you have done returns already in mockeries. Your thrift, knowledge, prayers, if they do not return in mockeries, what is their return?
The mockeries are not you. Underneath them and within them, I see you lurk. I pursue you where none else has pursued you. Silence, the desk, the flippant expression, the night, the accustomed routine. If these conceal you from others or from yourself, they do not conceal you from me.
The shaved face, the unsteady eye, the impure complexion. If these balk others, they do not balk me.
The pert apparel.
The deformed attitude, drunkenness, greed, premature death. All these I part aside.
There is no endowment in man or woman that is not tallied in you. There is no virtue, no beauty in man or woman, but as good is in you. No pluck, no endurance in others, but as good is in you. No pleasure waiting for others, but an equal pleasure waits for you.
As for me, I give nothing to anyone except I give the like carefully to you. I sing the songs of the glory of none, not God, sooner than I the songs of glory of you.
Whoever you are, claim your own at any hazard. These shows of the East and West are tame compared to you. These immense meadows, these interminable rivers, you are immense and interminable as they. these furies, elements, storms, motions of nature, throes of apparent dissolution, you're he or she who is master or mistress over them, master or mistress in your own right over nature, elements, pain, passion, dissolution.
The hopples fall from your ankles. You find an unfailing sufficiency. Old or young, male or female, rude, low, rejected by the rest, whatever you are promulgues itself. Through birth, life, death, burial, the means are provided. Nothing is scanted. Through angers, losses, ambition, ignorance, ennui, what you are picks its way. So that was To You by Walt Whitman. I don't know what you think, Dylan, but to me, it's really reflective. It has its moments, as Whitman always writes in his poems, that are very intimate, but at the same time, descriptive of a holistic view on society and how we should be looking at each other. And well, as Waltman says, it's To You. So to our listeners, we thank you.